You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We've talked about hockey and basketball and golf already this morning. We haven't talked about baseball yet, yeah. Dan. And we're not going to talk about the Marlins because they didn't do anything important this weekend at all. Nothing to talk about there. But something very interesting did happen with the Rockies. I don't know if you saw this video, but apparently the Rockies hitting coach filmed himself in the cockpit of their chartered flight from Denver to Toronto. And now the FAA is investigating this because this is very illegal. And this is a video of him sitting in the cockpit mid-flight while they're cruising. And I don't know what will happen, but the pilots, I think, have already been suspended for this.
Okay, you're away.
Flying the plane. Toronto. Everybody here.
Is your first officer?
Another officer in the back.
Are you landing it? Mm-hmm.
I'm going to land the plane tonight.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So relax.
Okay, we're really relaxed. Good.
I didn't realize that that flight was in the air. I thought that that was something that was happening on the ground. You're mentioning baseball here, and I have an incredibly sad list of all the teams in sports and their most famous fan.
Another list.
Who made this one, Dan?
I'm seeing it on something called Brooksgate, but the Marlins, now there are legitimate celebrities all over this. Eminem for the Tigers, Snoop Dogg for the Dodgers, Will Ferrell for the Diamondbacks, Paul Rudd for the Royals. The Marlins' most famous fan. The White Sox have Barack Obama. The Marlins' most famous fan is Marlins Man.
Wow.
I called that back here. I called that.
You shouldn't be proud of that. No one should be proud of that.
Exactly.
Gloria Estefan has to be a Marlins fan.
No.
I feel like Dan's more famous than Marlins Man.
Marlins Man is
certainly Billy.
Not great. I'm a little bit surprised that that's the best that the Marlins can do.
He has to have that framed, whatever that is.
Stugatz, I have in front of me also the number one coach that other players in the league, in the NBA, would least like to play for. Do you know who that coach is? He has been named this coach 3 years in a row, the coach that other players in the league would least like to play for.
Tom Thibodeau?
That is correct.
Thibs. But we don't like you anyways.
He's got the Knicks in such a great spot.
Yeah.
Because he's going to play you 50 minutes a game, and he's going to treat all of the practices as if they're too important, and he's going to turn your knees into sawdust over time.
And he'll be up 1-0 on the Sixers. I mean.
Not very often.
How's Elton John a Braves fan? Yeah. I'm looking at this list, and that seems odd.
I kind of want to look at this entire list now.
I can go ahead and give them to you all.
I would love Elton John talking Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yes, the Cubs are Bill Murray. The Red Sox are Mark Wahlberg. The Orioles are Edward Norton. The Mets are Jerry Seinfeld. The Yankees are Jay-Z. The A's are Bruno Mars. The Phillies.
Snoop Dogg is a good get. Like, there are a lot of famous Dodgers fans, and they went with Snoop Dogg as the most famous.
I did not know that Charlie Sheen was a Blue Jays fan. Did you?
I don't think he is.
So you're questioning the authenticity of the list is what you're doing.
Giannis is the biggest Brewers fan
he's a Pittsburgh guy. That makes sense.
According to this list.
Giannis. But that does make sense.
My mic was on while Izzy and I were discussing Michael Keaton being the biggest Pirates fan. He is a Pittsburgh guy. But Jeff Goldblum, I feel like, could be on that list, too.
Yeah.
Roy is gone now. Did Roy go? Did he leave to make sure that he could be just closer?
He's the most famous Panthers fan.
To the scent of the Panthers?
Charlie Sheen is a Reds fan.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Bill Nye, the science guy, is
not a, what not
a, team? A Mariners fan.
According to this list, Hootie is the biggest Reds fan there is.
The Panthers won a game one to open a postseason run, Stugatz, for the first time in seven tries. It has been since 1997.
They were due.
That the Panthers have won a game one to open a series. Did you go, Chris Cody?
I was there. Yeah. A little noon game, noon start, got the playoffs started, even though they haven't started yet. But yeah, it was exciting. It's the opposite of what's going on with the Heat, because the Panthers actually have a chance to win this, and every Heat fan is just knows that the season is over.
Wow. The Panthers, I would say, I was trying to think of this. Obviously, the LeBron, Wade, and Bosh team was the team that entered any postseason as feeling most championship worthy. But because this Panthers team is better than any that there has been, and better at the playoff style of hockey that any there has been, I believe that this is one of the most championship-worthy teams that that South Florida has ever sent into a postseason. The problem is that not only is this sport super random in the playoffs, and not only can you lose to any hot goaltender, there are about six teams in the league just as good as they are.
Right.
And so it makes it sort of it's difficult. This season will not be a success if it doesn't go as far as last season does. But they will not feel like what it is that I'm saying unless they do that, Stugatz, because I really do believe this is as championship worthy as something I have seen headed into the postseason that isn't, you know, LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, which we're always going to feel like that.
They are worthy. They are good enough. They're talented enough. But the hockey playoffs, as you know, is so random. And sometimes a hot goalie will get the better of a better team. But the Panthers are good, Dan, but so are the Bruins, and so are the Rangers, and so are the Carolina Hurricanes, and there's a ton of good teams just in the Eastern Conference, and that's before they get out west, where there are some better teams playing out west.
But this has never happened before for the Panthers fan base, where they could feel like this headed into the postseason. And in fact, Stugatz, the last time it felt like this was on the buoyant false hope, because their offense was so good during the regular season, that Huberdeau and the rest, because it was the best offense we've seen in the sport, would be able to do something in the postseason. And then they ran into these uniforms, not this team, but this Lightning uniforms, and they were immediately swept, immediately strangled, immediately suffocated in a way that everything that they were good at was no longer something that could be recreatable in the playoffs.
Well, as Billy would know, lifelong Panthers fan, as am I.
Ice Cats.
And I.
If you actually watch the broadcast, you would feel so proud as a Panthers fan, because they talk about Panthers hockey like they have an identity. Yeah. And they even the people who talk about it in a way that it is the best way to play hockey. And then when you watch and you can tell the difference between the way the Panthers play in the neutral zone, between the way the Panthers play when they're on the special teams, when not on the power play. What's the opposite? When you're shorthanded.
Power kill.
They play entirely differently, and they have this physicality about them. And then, yes, yes, they happen to score goals as well, but that's not the fun part. The fun part is watching them play physically, watching them sort of strangle the other team. And when you hear the announcers talk about it, it's like Mike says, you feel like you're one of the original seven.
They stepped up their pregame hype video, too. They have new speakers now. They've invested money because for years I
new
crushed.
New speakers, huh?
You couldn't hear any time anyone was talking in the arena.
Right.
It was just terrible. So they've stepped that up. I had three gooses in one hype video.
Wow. But from a fan standpoint, it's nearly impossible. As good as your hockey team is or your baseball team, those two sports in particular, to feel like, okay, we were good in the regular season. We're definitely going on a run. We're going to win the Stanley Cup. Just because of the randomness of the postseason in those two sports. Your football team, fine. Your basketball team, fine. Never in hockey. You don't say, hey, our team was so good in the regular season, we're going to run right through the playoffs and win a Stanley Cup. It doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work that way in football either.
Well, I mean, the Chiefs
I have a question
just
for Chris.
I know, but the Chiefs weren't. You doubted them all season. Like, you doubted them the entire season.
I could say
the Chiefs just won it as if it was easy when you were their loudest critic all season.
No.
So, Chris, three gooses in one video.
Separate gooses.
You
three
got
separate gooses.
Gooses.
Yeah.
They
go
went
away.
Down, mm-hmm. and then they came back all within one video two extra times?
How long was the video?
The video was about 2 minutes, it felt like. It was like they go through all the names, and then they have the song and the highlights and the fight. They ended with Lomberg with the knockout punch he had. I'm telling you,
I don't think I've ever gone multiple.
No,
you never had three
good
gooses?
Goosebumps last.
Yeah.
Nah, they come and go. Gooses come, and they're gone within 5 seconds.
Ooh.
You feel
it,
you're like, ooh, gooses.
Rays fan. Is it also you, Dan?
It's Dick Vitale.
Dickie V, yeah.
Hulk Hogan, no?
No, Dickie V, when he's going out to his 4:30 dinner reservations and you catch him on the street, he's there ranting and raving about the Rays, whether you want to hear it or not. By the way, RIP to the Schwab.
Ah, yes.
Transition.
Mm-hmm.
Go sit in the penalty box. Go sit, Billy, go sit in the penalty box.
2 minutes for RIP?
He's purposely being just maximum dick for the first 2 hours of the show
today.
He
just said for morning?
2 minutes, morning.
He has been on one today.
I mean, just
not helping at
all. Just unpleasant, like just deeply unpleasant.
He can't find his hat.
Just eating breakfast in the middle of things.
I mean, his baseball team is lousy.
They won two in a row, Marlins.
I think one of the easy analyses of this hockey series, it is an oversimplification, but if the Panthers are playing 5-on-5, they're better than the Lightning. And if the Lightning are great on the power play, so it's the only way they can win the series is to just make sure that they get a ton of penalties. But Chris Cody saying that their pregame is a lot better and he's got goosies. Given that it used to be as a pregame, him and Roy leading people out of the locker room, it would be hard for it to be worse than that.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Don Levitard. Stugatz.
Every cup game.
And what?
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Would you guys please look up for me what it is that Ryan Garcia lost in terms of money because he bet Devin Haney that he would weigh the correct amount for their welterweight championship fight and would pay, I think it's $500,000 for every pound that he was overweight. And he ended up not only being 3 pounds overweight, Stugatz, but also showing up for the weigh-in and chugging a beer while standing in the weigh-in. And this was a giant upset over the weekend because he was a 9-to-1 dog. And evidently, Haney spent the time like training 5 times a day. And Garcia admitted afterward that he was just drinking every day before the fight.
Garcia bet $1.5 million. He lost that.
So he lost, for each pound that he was overweight, he lost $500,000. Now, it is being reported that he bet $2 million on himself to win the fight, which would obviously, he says he bet $2 million on himself to beat Haney. So that's a 9-to-1 underdog that he would be winning $18 million on that, if that's what he bet. And it was a victory for laziness, not training, conspiracy theorists,
my man,
beer drinkers. It was a big victory for them over the weekend.
Billy, you know how you said you think that the yogurt, like the frozen yogurt people, put their finger on the scale sometimes to make it a little heavier when you get your frozen yogurt?
Oh, yeah.
You think he was doing that? Like he secretly had a big toe on the scale? He's like, ooh. I got a lot of money at stake here.
It's possible.
Have you guys seen any other examples of shrinkflation? Have you seen any infuriating examples of...
ring pops are ridiculously small now, if you must know. Oh, yeah. Check a ring pop now compared to a ring pop back in the day. Not even close in size.
You're still eating ring pops?
Well, I have kids.
Kids are still eating ring... That's like the worst candy.
I'm not a doctor.
I feel like Billy would still be eating ring pops without kids.
It's like the...
They're not good.
It's the worst candy because like your hand gets all
sticky. It's so sticky, yes.
Yeah.
Let's discuss this.
They're good for a bit, though.
What is the worst candy? Because my nomination Werther's would be Sweet Tarts.
Really?
Don't like them.
Well, worse for your teeth or worse tasting?
What? You know what? I changed that to black licorice. I changed my answer.
I think you have to eliminate black licorice from the discussion. I think that's an automatic get out of here. It doesn't even feel like candy to me.
It's not candy.
It's more like candy. A liquor flavor than it is candy flavor.
But it is candy, and it's not a liquor flavor. Which is the liquor flavor?
It's anise flavor, I believe. Whatever Witty drafted in that candy draft are the worst candies.
I have a nomination.
Is Jägermeister the black licorice one?
Sugar Daddies. These things, I'm telling you.
I love sugar daddies.
They get stuck in your teeth. Like, you can't chew them. They're, like, impossible to chew. They are impossible to chew.
Sugar daddies every day.
Black licorice has to be a runaway winner, though.
Brother.
I believe that Izzy is right about this, that black licorice has to be the worst of it, and then we have to go to a second category. What is the second worst of all the candies?
To me, it's the ones that get stuck in your teeth, in your mouth, like taffy.
Sugar daddies.
It's just not good enough to do all that work for.
Like dots.
Dots aren't great.
I like dots.
Dots get stuck in your teeth.
But they're bad. I'm with you. They're not good,
though. Dots get stuck in your teeth?
I feel like
they do.
Not as much as
milk duds.
But dots aren't chewy. Dots aren't like what he's talking about.
They're chewy.
I think so.
Never had a dot.
They're not super chewy. Like they're not in the category of where like you're putting your finger in your mouth trying to like clean your teeth after. It's the worst.
Any like hard, like you're looking at lollipops on the screen right now. Like I pass.
Where are we with the red licorice? Because to me, I mean, I feel like I'm eating wax also. I feel like in movie theaters, I've used licorice more as a straw than as actual
candy.
Well,
which are you talking about? Because if you go Vines, that's a horror, but Twizzlers are good.
I make no distinction.
I disagree.
They're both terrible.
I think the ones with the, like, the straw ones are better.
You think Vines are better? The movie theater?
The ones
theater?
That Garth was eating in Wayne's World? I think I like those ones better.
I would say from the licorice category that nibs are the best. Like nibs.
Nibs are just small pieces of Twizzlers.
They're great.
Basically.
Yes.
They're just tiny chewables. But if you don't think those are too chewy, how could you think dots are too chewy and those aren't too chewy?
They don't get stuck
about
in my teeth.
Same dots.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. I just had dots over the weekend. Stuck in my teeth. Still.
There's like the yellow box dots, and then there's like the thingies that are on the paper that you eat off that I think are also called dots.
Yeah.
Like the receipt paper.
What's the one chocolate ones with all the little white spots on it that I've never ordered?
I love those.
Oh, really?
Like the snow caps?
Oh, snow caps.
I love those.
Yeah, those are good.
So good.
I think those are called dots.
No.
They're all ducks.
You don't know what you're describing, are you?
They can't. I'm telling you, no. I just had snow them over the weekend.
Snow caps are not dots, Dugans. Like, what did you have? Hold on a second.
I had the yellow box of dots. That's what I had. The yellow box. They're chewy.
Those are dots.
What do you
stuck
think,
in my teeth.
What do you think snow caps are?
Well, snow caps are like a weird version of goobers and raisinettes. They're in the same family. They're chocolate with a little sugar on top, right?
That's correct.
So how's that like a dot?
Not at all.
Well, I didn't say
it's
it was like a dot.
It's also not like a raisinette.
I was talking about the dots that you pick off the piece of paper. That's what Jess was talking about, and I believe they're actually called dots.
That's different what, dots, but they're,
the,
yeah.
That's what I thought the dots were.
No, different dots.
The second live hour is going great.
Couple of dots.
Tom Nibodeau.
So.
Nibs.
Wembanyama over the weekend, Stugatz, we saw some video come out of an interview he did where he said he is immune to temptation, that he doesn't have anything that he has to compensate for, and therefore he doesn't think that he will fall into drugs or alcohol, or he didn't mention women. He didn't mention that as a temptation, but he said specifically, I don't have anything to compensate for. Therefore, I am not someone who can succumb to temptation. And a lot of people took it as a sign of maturity. And I'm like, be careful. Be careful about what it is that you're saying there, because I don't believe that you know exactly what it is, the temptation, all of it, that is about to head your way, because he has gotten, he'll win Rookie of the Year. It's Chet Holmgren he's up against, and he will win Rookie of the Year, but he is not yet the star he will soon be when he's running this league. He's been someone, Stugatz, who has gotten used to, obviously, since he's from a young age. He's comfortable in his own skin, and usually when you are that kind of size as a young person, it will screw with your confidence, because I've told you before, Kevin Durant used to pray to be shorter because you just don't want to stand out so much as a kid. But he seems to have an unusual amount of confidence and maturity for his age. So let's hear what he had to say to the Ringer.
I just feel like I'm immune to like the things people try to tell me, oh, pay attention to this, or watch out, you know, all the bad things like, you know.
Distractions.
Distractions, exactly. Like partying, you know, like alcohol, drugs, whatever, like. Why would I ever do
that? You're just so focused on what it is that you desire.
Yeah. And also, I don't have nothing to compensate for because I choose to face all the like trauma, not really trauma because I've had a good childhood, but like all the things that we have inside of us.
Well, he's clearly never hung out with James Harden because that time is coming where he will have temptations placed in front of him. But I do think of a comparison, and it happens to be a guy that he talks about, he like wants to play like. Kevin Durant, have you seen him sort of fall for any sort of temptations? Has he gotten into anything with alcohol, drugs, women? No. And he's made a whole career out of it and stayed out of trouble, other than, you know, little burner account and all that stuff on social media. But I think he is the model right now for Wemby, and it's a pretty good one.
I don't think anyone questions how much Kevin Durant loves basketball. I don't think, Stugatz, that you can be the kind of great that these people are at basketball unless your focus is a bit obsessive and maniacal. It doesn't mean you can't succumb to temptations. It doesn't mean that you can't get soft with a lack of hunger once it is that you've arrived at some success. I do think that people underestimate, Stugatz, how hard and grueling everything around basketball is that isn't the games.
Right.
The arriving at 5 o'clock in the morning in a city because your flight's delayed and just having your life turned upside down because every day you have to be in a ballroom on, to do a walkthrough on a road city because they just basically don't want you sleeping in after being out late all night. So they have the walkthrough in the morning just to make sure that their players have some sort of discipline that they have to answer to, even if they don't need what's given out in the walkthrough.
It's an easy thing for him to say now. We'll see how it goes the remainder of his career. I think what you and Izzy are saying is he hasn't seen real temptation yet.
I don't think it's an easy thing to say. I don't see a lot of people saying that.
What's he going
to
say?
I'm immune to temptation. He doesn't have to
wait
say.
Wait until I win and temptation comes my way and I'm all in?
It's not always there right in front of you. Like, you have to go seek the good times, right? I'm not saying that Shaquille O'Neal turned Dwayne Wade into a party animal, but Dwayne Wade didn't really know what it was like to be famous until Shaq got here and taught him. And so I think with your Victor, there's a little bit of a naivete there that maybe at some point you're just going to start feeling yourself and say, hey, there's no way I can get in trouble. I'll just go do a little something over here. But that approach is exactly what you want to hear.
He can't be perfect. He's got to have something. Come on, what's he hiding? He's probably on his phone like 10 hours a day. Come on. I mean, all these young kids these days, they don't drink. It's like, Shut up, you're on your phone all day.
You don't have time to drink.
I'm just saying, he can't be perfect. There's got to be something wrong with him. Let's find it.
Huh. You're addicted. I don't want to do that. There's plenty of time for that. Try to avoid that particular temptation. It's one the media often has.
Finding bad things.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to tell me how perfect you are, I'm going to do a little digging.
It is aggressive to say immune to temptation. San Antonio is not going to offer that much in the way of temptation. It will help. I don't think you've heard of a lot of star players in San Antonio getting in any kind of trouble.
Nope. Duncan, Robinson. I mean, one's an admiral.
Why do you think that is, Dan?
It's pretty boring. One of the father's favorite vacation places, though, so strangely.
How's that river? I've heard they have a cool river.
It's all they have. I love a good boring vacation. Candy Buttons. That's what it was.
I knew you had it wrong. I knew you had it wrong.
Don Lebatard.
And finally, Fruit Loops are all the same flavor, just different colors. I refuse to believe that.
Is that right?
I refuse to believe it. I mean, try the grapefruit loop and tell me that doesn't taste different than the cherry one, because it does. I love Fruit Loops.
Stugatz.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Did you know that all of Fruit Loops were the same flavor, just different colors?
Refuse to believe it.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We didn't talk very much at all around here, Stugatz, about Jontay Porter's lifetime ban for gambling. A pretty brutal time for the Porter family because another brother, Coben, is getting 6 years in prison for a fatality in a drunk driving accident. And once it is that it's reported that you had in Colorado a gambling account that you were betting millions on and you bet on your team to lose, I think that outside of crimes that result in prison sentences and the loss of your freedom, I think it's the greatest athlete crime that there can be. It's the reason you're getting a lifetime ban, and you don't often see anything in the way of lifetime bans. Morally, sports considers this the worst of all the offenses, to be betting against your team, to be betting on your team to lose. And so this is a name, even though we were not familiar with Michael Porter having a basketball playing brother before this, this is a name that you will remember associated with this particular crime, because there aren't that many lifetime bans ever in sports. But also, I believe it's just the beginning of this, Stugatz, because one of the things that I think, and I wrote an article about this for ESPN the magazine many years ago, it would make sense if you have people who are addicted to competition, never mind gambling, just addicted to competition, it would make sense that a percentage of them would get addicted to needing action away from the 81 times a year they're getting it for, in this case, 12 minutes a night on a basketball court, that you would have a desire or a need to compete at all times in a way that would be compulsive. It would make sense to me if this is just the beginning of this, that they will, like with Calvin Ridley, they will give a severe punishment to make sure that others in the future are warned that they can't do it, but it's not the nature of addiction and compulsion to be able to control it when you're somebody who has a problem with addictive personality disorder or just need action away from things. I think, Sugach, you've noticed with young people in general, there is a need for more stimuli. There is just in general a need to get more from life than what you presently are doing at your job. And in this case, he was betting so much, Dugatz. It's not just millions of dollars, which was a lot. He was making so many bets that there was clearly a problem with how much he needed competition, action.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but in this room, we are of the consensus that perhaps if they threw out a potential lifetime ban for things like, I don't know, sexual assault or domestic abuse or anything like that, then maybe we'd take those crimes a lot more seriously. But I think when you go to the competition-aholic angle here and say, you know, that's where the gambling problems come in, I think where people have a hard time believing or understanding this, and this is even NBA players, like, your competition desire, it's like those are fulfilled by competing to make the NBA. You have already accomplished a lifetime dream for so many other people, and you're going to risk it for what, a couple $100,000? That's why you got to the NBA for the money, because there's so many other ways to cheat for money. And so the idea, if you want this competition, go ahead and compete for a starter spot, my man. Go ahead and compete for something else to make you the best that you are, and then see if you still have that itch to compete or to get, you know, the gambling, those gambling or those bets off, rather.
Do you guys worry that the NBA was too strong, too harsh with this penalty? Because you set a precedent here. So whoever gambles on their own team is going to get a lifetime ban.
Yeah.
If Giannis does it, he's getting a lifetime ban.
It was perfect.
The NBA sure.
Jonte Porter.
I know. But are you sure the NBA really wants to go down that road? Because who knows who's doing this?
This precedent's been set before, though, in other sports, correct?
You can't do this. This is something that is, everyone knows this. This is not something that is allowed, and the punishment is the heaviest. And when you say, morally, what does this say about other crimes committed? What it says is that those crimes, these leagues don't believe, impact the integrity of the product on the court or on the field the way that this one does. They're telling you what the most important thing is to them by the severity of the penalty. And the answer to your question is, yes, if Giannis was betting like this, he would never play again.
I don't even think Jonte Porter has an impact on the result of the game. I don't think he is affecting the integrity of the game when you're just a guy who goes out there for 6 points, five rebounds, and you're betting the under. So I don't think this is like a slippery slope situation where you're going to see a bunch of players doing this. This was odd to me, especially when you consider the family that he does come from. And I don't know, you know, how they handle their finances, but his brother's pretty rich. And so the idea that you have to go and, you know, do illegal activity for a couple extra $100,000 just seemed odd.
I didn't think it was the money. I thought it was the action. And when I'm reading about some of the reports, I'm thinking to myself, how much of a loser do you feel like when you've bet on your team to lose and it wins? Like how, when you're headed home, driving home with your private thoughts, like how much of an asshole do you feel like when that's what you're driving home with? Like, I thought I had inside information. I'm on the inside.
If anyone should know, I should know.
I can't impact the result enough because I'm not playing enough.
Can't feel more like a loser than that spot.
It's a bad spot. It is. It's universally bad. Did you have any thoughts, Izzy? And I know this wasn't the greatest game because Dallas, God, it was hard to watch how Dallas lost to the Clippers. But Mark Cuban has said already, he's ready to call it, that Luka Doncic is the best Mav ever, that he is better than Dirk Nowitzki already. I know Stugatz's take, win a championship. He hasn't won a championship.
Well, you had me out here saying that I should defend, well, I said it, but saying that you should defend Luka sideways from the side because it's the only way you can actually get a challenge on that shot. But then they go and score 30 points and a half. I did not think that was possible. And so I'm not going to reverse my claim and say I don't think he's the best Mav ever, because I do think offensively he's more skilled than Dirk, even though Dirk's a slightly better shooter. But that one game was pretty damning.
I wanted to read you guys a quote here from Tyler Glasnow. I enjoyed watching him pitch for the Rays last year. He's with the Dodgers now, and he admits—
Who isn't?
Yes, everybody's with the Dodgers now. And his quote is, "I'm a little radar slut."
Hey-o.
He loves looking up at the board and seeing 99 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour.
Does he care if he gets hit?
I mean, I don't think they put up a time on the board when you get hit. I think the only time you're seeing the time that's put up on the board.
I'm just saying, if Glasnow deals something that's 100 miles per hour and it goes out of the park, does he care?
He says, "I'm a little radar slut," and that suggests to me that he doesn't care about anything other than hitting 99 on the radar.
Everybody has their kinks, dude. Doesn't matter if he hits a home run or not.
We're all little radar sluts. Whenever you drive past one of those little speed thingies and it gives you a smiley face if you're going the right speed, or a frowny face if you're going too fast, you're always looking at that thing.
You get the smiley frowny face ones?
It. Yeah, you've never seen one?
Not in my neighborhood. I don't think I live in a nice enough neighborhood.
To be fair, I have never seen a speed radar in Miami. They just let you speed here. Yeah. This is in other states, Izzy.
There's a Mississippi State pitcher, Stugatz, who throws 99 miles an hour right-handed and 95 miles an hour left-handed.
Come on. It's impossible.
It's not impossible. It's a thing that's
So he's
happening.
Getting lit up from both sides.
99 and 95 isn't that fast anymore. I've told you this. Startled that the Oakland A's have a little radar slut who looks up at the board and it's 103 miles an hour.
Focus on one arm, man. Come on.
You should get Tommy John right now on both arms.
Just get it on both arms right now.
Premature Tommy John.
Wow, if he could space him out, he could like pitch righty this year, get the TJ done. Next year, yeah, we'll switcheroo.
Yeah.
Do we have anyone here who was excited, blindsided, or curious about the fact that out of nowhere, as a surprise, a Taylor Swift double album made an appearance over the weekend and sold more than a million copies in the first 24 hours because she's the biggest thing in entertainment? And I don't know at this point, outside of maybe a couple of soccer players, how many people are more famous than her in the world?
It's a fair question. I don't listen to Taylor Swift's music. I'm very like neutral, leaning positive towards her in general. But
sounds like you're setting up for
I'm
something
getting
here.
The sense that people don't like this album. Wow. Is that correct, Chris Cody?
It's a love album. I'm about seven or eight songs in. A couple catchy ones. It's not, you know, the first time you hear an album, it takes me a while to like really decide how I feel about music sometimes. So I'm kind of, I know it's not exciting to hear. I'm kind of undecided.
Is it because you're thinking you're waiting for the rest of the people to react and then think that way?
No, it's just like with music. Like I don't like, it takes me like four or five times listening to a song sometimes to like really decide if I really like
but
it.
But you're
or not.
Seven or eight songs in. How many songs are there?
There's like 30.
That's too many.
That's
it's not
I was
an
talking
album.
With Jeremy the other day. Careful. Like what's the strategy nowadays? Because I would think that you break those up into two albums and you're making more money. But I guess now with algorithms and downloads, you just want to throw 30 songs at them and hope a few catch.
Wait, you're thinking put 11 away for another album for another day?
I was thinking
that's a heady play. I'm with you,
right? But yes. I think the strategy nowadays is the more songs you put up, the better chance you got at the more streams, the more downloads. So it's kind of like
I'm going to go ahead and guess that however Taylor Swift is doing it is probably the right.
You think
way.
She's a volume shooter? She's not going for like hits.
Is what she's doing. That is the strategy to volume shoot.
I mean, 21 to 30 songs on an album—that's a volume shooter. They all can't be
it's
good.
It's literally exactly
right.
What she's doing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not all good. They all. I mean, she's a great songwriter, but. The key, she's hoping to get seven
but
or eight.
You're not sure yet, you're saying. I haven't listened to it. I've read a couple reviews and I'm like, huh, these are not as nice as I was expecting.
Apparently, it's the relationship before Travis, because this is like a heartbreak
album.
The
Maddie Healy one, right? Whoever that guy is, I still don't know.
Was there a time people would sit down and just listen to albums when they came out?
Yeah, you get your vinyl record, right, Stu? You'd listen to the A side, and then you flip it, and you listen to the B side, and then your friends would come over.
It was a better time.
You'd have people come over, and that would be like your weekend.
Well, no. I mean, I would get, like, you know, Mars Hotel, Grateful Dead album. I would put the whole thing on. I'd listen to the entire thing. It wasn't 21 songs, though. Like the Dead, they would put out 8 to 10 songs. They knew their music was going to be good.
20 minutes long.
It would still be 6 hours long.
What's the perfect number? Because someone here suggested that I should listen to Olivia Rodrigo, and I decided to do that. And then I found out that that wasn't something that they actually liked. Same thing with Billie Eilish. Like, Coogs played this prank on me where he's like, I love Billie Eilish. You'd really like Billie Eilish. So then I started listening, and I was like 3 or 4 songs in and sending him like updates on how I felt about the Billie Eilish songs. He's like, I don't actually like Billie Eilish. So I wasted my time on that.
What a strange prank. What kind of people work around? That's just weird.
It's
what are
odd.
We doing?
Juju, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Does it take you 4 or 5 listens to decide whether you like music or not?
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.